From Schwartz Media, I'm Ange McCormack. This is 7am. When starting out at university, it's normal to want to meet new friends and establish a community. But for some young Australians, that formative time has led them down the path of a secretive and extreme religious sect that some former members describe as exerting mind control and taking over their lives. So, who's behind this group and how are Australians being impacted? Today, contributor to the Saturday paper, Alicia Orr, on the story of Nathan and the doomsday cult that changed his life. It's Wednesday, March 20, and a heads up, we've revoiced Nathan's conversation with Alicia to protect his identity. Alicia, you've been looking into a story about a young guy in Perth. Who is he and where does this story start?
Yeah, of course. So Nathan, it's not his real name. We're using a pseudonym just to protect his privacy. He's a 23-year-old guy from Perth. It was actually his father who put me in touch with him. He was studying at the University of Western Australia. He was in his first year of university, so he'd only been on campus a little while. It was just a normal day on campus for him when another guy came up to him. Nathan assumed, as you would, I guess, that this person was a university student. They approached him and asked him if he would answer some questions as part of a sort of survey. So Nathan didn't really ask many questions about the survey. He thought he was just being helpful. So he didn't realise that the answers he would be providing then, they might be used in any sort of manipulative way in the future. He thought he was providing data.
So what happened exactly? What kind of questions were in this survey that you're talking about?
So this survey, there was a lot of questions in there just about his background, his life, where he came from, his family, and especially it mentioned faith. And Nathan happily told him that he was Christian, you know, that wasn't like overly religious, but he grew up as a Christian. By the end of the survey, the two exchanged contacts and this person was texting him quite often.
From that moment, you know, he kept trying to reach out to me for probably a couple of weeks.
So, yeah, I spoke to Nathan about his experiences, but in this audio, we've had to just change his voice to protect his privacy.
And he sent a lot of text messages, even, you know, sometimes I'd just ignore his text, but then he kept on persisting and he put a lot of effort into his text to me, trying to kind of check up and see like how I was going.
Eventually he said that he ended up agreeing to come along to some event. The details were vague. It was sort of a Bible study group. There was no specific mention of who'd put it on, and it was held in a rented building in the city in Perth, but there was no signage or anything to indicate if it was a particular church or who was even funding it. And Nathan, he actually said that the group's interpretation of the Bible, it sort of piqued his interest. They sort of looked at the Bible differently, and everyone was so warm and welcome at the event. And after that, he ended up signing up to do this 8-month course. So Nathan was going along to these Bible classes, but these weren't your average Bible classes. It was very extreme in having to spend all your time focused on it. You had to memorize different verses, read long sermons or watch recordings of long sermons, and then they had to provide their reflections. You had to have your whole mind focused on this religion, these beliefs. It was only after this 8-month course that Nathan heard this word, Shincheonji. He found out he was part of Shincheonji.
Okay, and so what is that, Alicia? Can you tell me more about it and where does it come from?
So Shincheonji, it has its roots in Korea. It was founded back in 1984. Experts refer to it as a cult. It's been called a doomsday cult.
Today's 100,000 graduation ceremony of Class 114 is to congratulate the graduates who learned the revealed word, understood the true meaning and became God's children. Today's event will proceed in the order...
It has more than 200,000 followers around the world. Its founder, Lee Man-hee, he's actually been involved in other groups which have been referred to as cults.
Yes, please, everyone, look at the screen. Chairman is moving to get onto a helicopter from Cheongdo. Chairman got onto the helicopter to come here, the Daegu Stadium.
What this group believe, they believe there's a day of judgment coming, and they believe everyone who's not a member of Shincheonji, that they will be destroyed. So you're in or you're out.
And so our nation, everybody must become one. And when God looks at us, we have to be a nation that is beautiful. And when it's a beautiful, that's when God would quickly want to come. Amen.
So Nathan told me that those taking part in the Bible course, they were told not to share any contacts with others in the group before they graduated. They were constantly just told they would get the answers when they were ready. They were made to feel special, like they were part of something bigger, so they didn't need to ask those questions.
They kind of plant this idea that using your own way of thinking is very dangerous, so you become very submissive to your teachers. You know, they teach that, like, don't rely on your own thoughts. Like, God loves obedience, so you need to be obedient to your teachers. So you end up asking your teachers everything. Like, this is the mind control part. They control your own decisions.
They were even sort of taught to defend it against others. They're taught not to trust information from outside of the church, as well as like being told that the internet is poison.
You're taught that Satan is in the media and he's all over the internet. Like, the internet equals Satan, basically. So you're not allowed to go on any internet. You're actually taught if you go onto the internet, you'll poison yourself and you'll kill your spirit.
As well as that, there's also the control of time. So Nathan described how he became sleep deprived. He committed so much of his time to the group that he would be staying out late, not getting back to the early hours, and then he would leave his house before 6 a.m.
You're sort of always under pressure to do things. You don't have time to just know even what's going on. And you're sleep deprived. And if you don't perform well, you know, you can get rebuked and disciplined.
By the time that Nathan actually discovered what the group was, he was well and truly indoctrinated by that point.
After the break, how Nathan realised he needed to get out of Shincheonji.
As a 7am listener, you value the story behind the headlines. That's why you should read Post, a free daily newsletter bringing you the top five news stories of the day, summarising each of their key points with links to full articles from a range of sources. Get the news you need to your inbox every weekday morning with Post. Sign up at thesaturdaypaper.com.au/newsletters.
With award-winning news coverage and reviews, The Saturday Paper is essential reading for everybody. For a limited time, subscribe to a year of our quality, independent journalism, and you'll receive the Saturday Paper's stainless steel coffee cup made in collaboration with Fresco for free. Subscribe from just $2.10 a week. Simply visit thesaturdaypaper.com.au/offer. The Saturday Paper. No hot takes.
Alicia, it sounds like after joining Shincheonji that it started to take over Nathan's life. I'm wondering what his loved ones and family noticed about what was happening and how Nathan was changing.
Yeah, Nathan, because I initially spoke to Nathan's father, and so Nathan's dad obviously had played a large role in his story. He was talking about his son's behaviour, how he'd seen it change over the course of the 4 years that his son had been involved with the group. Nathan had become aloof. He was out all hours without an explanation, or not an explanation that made sense to his parents. His father described him as a good student. They were social. He liked to play music and he had a few instruments, but he never did those things anymore. He didn't go to the gym. He was really, he was just a different person with them. His parents were really concerned. They were worrying. They were thinking of all sorts of what could be going on because they had no idea what it was. And they were so helpless that they were looking into everything. What could this possibly be affecting their son? So, yeah, it was only when his parents found out about the presence of this group, Shincheonji, in Perth, that they realised that it was this group. It had to be this group behind the changes they'd seen in their son. They both spent months trying to sort of start conversations with Nathan about it. They needed to get through to him without him just cutting them off completely. So it was really touch and go for a while.
Right. And how did they approach that conversation? I mean, it's not a situation any parent would want to be in. So how do you convince your son to leave a group that's, you know, been called a cult?
Nathan's dad explained to me that he took Nathan on a holiday away from Perth, and that was the approach that finally sort of got through. Nathan told me that he sat down to watch a movie with his parents while he was there. And because the group had taken up every spare moment of his time, this was the first time he'd sat down and watched a movie. And with his parents, like, he was in control of his time for the first time in years. So it was this holiday that made him rethink everything and start looking at things in a different way, because he just started questioning every aspect of it. So his exit from the group was quite swift. After mentioning his concerns to another fellow group member, soon after, he got a message from one of the leaders here in Perth of the group saying they needed to talk. And because Nathan didn't get back, I think after that, there was a realization from the group that, no, he's leaving. Straight away, he was just blocked on Telegram. So all the conversations and the groups that they usually have on Telegram, he was just blocked. There was a message that Nathan had seen that went out to anyone who he was teaching at the time and anyone else in the group, just saying, do not have any contact with this person. So, yeah, he'd become poison.
Mm. And seeing as this has totally upended Nathan's life, I'm curious, like, what was Shincheonji getting out of this as a group? What's the motivation to, you know, manipulate and indoctrinate someone like Nathan?
Yeah, that's a difficult one to answer, especially considering I was unable to speak to anyone from the group despite reaching out to members of Shincheonji and the leaders. No one got back to me. From their perspective, I'd say that they would probably say that they're helping people carry out a life of faith through the correct interpretation of the Bible. But I guess in my conversation with Nathan, he agreed Shincheonji operated in a similar way to a pyramid scheme. So I understand that there's about 1,600 followers of Shincheonji here in Australia. And I spoke to the president of Cult Information and Family Support Group, Tori Cleaver. He told me that he'd been approached by more and more people, either people who'd been involved with the group or family and friends who were concerned about people who may be involved with the group. He listed them. He would say that they are sort of the biggest threat operating in Australia at the moment. And the funny thing is, Shincheonji actually has charitable status in Australia. So it's registered through the authorities as a charity. So it's recognised. But I guess, yeah, there's no religion is sort of it's not black and white. There's so many grey areas in it.
I myself getting really demotivated easily because I think, you know, being inside the cult, as much it was very harmful to my family and my life outside, but it gives you a sense of meaning because you feel very propelled to do something for God. And it's almost hard to replace that sense of meaning.
So Nathan, he never imagined he would be in a cult. It's a little bit sad in a way because he's trying to move on now. He needs to get back into university. He dropped out of his university course completely. He's still, you know, working through where his faith is at the moment. He strongly believes in God, but yeah, he's lost something. He's also trying to replace the sense of meaning that that group gave him, that Shincheonji was everything to him for a very long time. And yeah, now he has to build that life back up.
Alicia, thanks so much for your time today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Andrew O'Hagan's latest, Caledonian Road, explores one man's epic fall from grace. I'm Michael Williams, and on this week's Read This, I sit down with Andrew to discuss this and the state of modern Britain. All that and more, wherever you listen.
Also in the news today, Ukraine's ambassador to Australia has criticised the ABC for airing a documentary on Monday night which he described as the journalistic equivalent of a bowl of vomit. The programme, which was not produced by the ABC but was aired by Four Corners, showed Russian perspectives on the front line of the Ukraine invasion. And the Reserve Bank has kept interest rates on hold at 4.35%. Keeping the cash rate steady was widely anticipated, but some economists predict that rates could be cut by the RBA in the second half of the year. I'm Ange McCormack. This is 7am. We'll be back again tomorrow with an episode looking into the man behind the coalition's push for nuclear power. See you then.